There you go.
Okay, well, welcome everybody to our August meeting of the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. Just a reminder to everybody, this meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. The meeting is being conducted virtually. Members of the public can watch the meeting via a listen-only video feed. Budget Committee members and others who may be presenting or answering questions, please remember to unmute yourself prior to speaking. And please mute yourself when not speaking to minimize background noise. Also, please identify yourself before speaking for purposes of the recording. So Ms. Cowan, would you like to take roll?
Yes, thank you. Judge Mormon.
Present.
Justice Fujisaki.
Here.
Justice Hill.
Present.
Judge Armendariz.
Here.
Judge Botke is not joining us today. Judge Hopp.
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki.
Present.
Ms. Hill.
I'm here.
Thank you. So we have 7 of 8 members.
Okay.
So we have a quorum.
That's a quorum. Thanks everybody for taking time out today. I really appreciate it. So we have some matters to discuss. Our first matter is the minutes from our June 6th meeting. They do appear at pages 3 and 4 of your materials. Those of you who have had a chance to review them, if there's a motion.
Yamasaki moves.
Mr. Yamasaki's moved approval.
Fujisaki second.
And Justice Fujisaki has seconded. Any further discussion about the minutes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the minutes have been approved from June 6th. Thank you. So, Ms. Cowan, have we received any public comment? I didn't see any that had been posted.
No, no public comment was received for the meeting.
All right, thank you. So, as you all have seen from the agenda, we have one action item. We have Judge Conklin and Ms. Tuck from Judicial Council Budget Services here to discuss the allocation methodologies for SB 154 and SB 101 backfill funding. I think Judge Conklin and Ms. Tuck will present an overview of TICBAC's recommendations to allocate trial court backfill funding for these fee waiver changes contained in the 22 Budget Act for 2022 and 2023 and ongoing. And also for the elimination of certain criminal fees included in the 23 Budget Act for 23 and 24 and ongoing. So Judge Conklin, I know we have some materials that were presented, but I'll turn it over to you.
Great, thanks so much, Judge Mormon. And you do have all the materials. The two ultimate recommendations we're asking you to consider today are on page 7 of your materials. And they are as described by Judge Mormon. Admittedly, they're relatively small, but significant nevertheless for those courts involved. And so now I'll turn it over to Oksana just to give you the technicalities of the recommendation. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oksana Tuck. I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. Item 1 on today's agenda for your consideration is allocation methodologies for Senate Bill SB 154 and SB 101 backfill funding for the trial courts. To provide some background, SB 154, the 2022 Budget Act, included up to $18 million in funding to backfill trial courts for revenue loss resulting from Assembly Bill AB 199. AB 199 expands eligibility for civil filing fee waivers by increasing the poverty threshold from 125% to 200% to qualify for automatic waivers on various filing fees. The Judicial Council's Budget Services staff, in consultation with the Department of Finance, determine the estimated backfill need for revenue loss due to AB 199 is approximately 1.6 million as other backfills are in place. Of this amount, 689,000 is designated for the child courts. The SB 154 allocation methodology considers total revenue collected from the child courts from 2017-18 through 2021-22 and provides a proportional backfill to each of the child courts in 22-23 and ongoing. This proposed allocation schedule can be found in column F of attachment A on page 8 of the materials. The second methodology is related to backfill funding included in SB 101, the 2023 Budget Act. SB 101 includes 826,000 to backfill child courts for certain criminal fees eliminated pursuant to AB 134, which is the 2324 Public Safety Trailer Bill. AB 134 repeals criminal administrative fees related to a change of plea or set-aside verdict and record sealing. The SB 101 allocation methodology was also developed in consultation with the Department of Finance. It considers total revenue collected from 2016-17 through 2020-21 as reported by the child courts and uses a five-year average to proportionally backfill the child courts in 23-24 and ongoing. This proposed allocation schedule can be found in column H of attachment B on page 9. So the Child Court Budget Advisory Committee recommendation for your consideration today is to approve the backfill allocation methodologies for SB 154 and SB 101 as outlined on page 7 of the meeting materials. That concludes our presentation. Judicial Council staff are on the call to assist in answering any questions you might have.
Oksana, thank you so much. So just in gross summary, folks, this is essentially hole filling from appropriately fees that were reduced or eliminated for our court users. And those holes are being filled by these backfills and the methodologies related to them. And so TCBEC is asking for your approval of those two methodologies.
So if does anybody have any questions? Yes, Judge Hopp.
Yeah. Did the pandemic year, and I know the year, the 5 years are a little different one from the other, but did the 2021 or 21-22 changes in revenue kind of skew the numbers one way or the other? Or it looks like there's a drop off in 19-20 and then kind of a bounce back in both of them in 2021, and I'm guessing the same might have been true for 21-22 for table two if we had that data. But I'm just wondering if we want to include one or both of those pandemic years or if it really makes a difference.
I'm sure somebody else could probably give more technical answer. I think in the grand scheme of things, and without trying to be unappreciative of the amounts, it's such a small amount of money that I don't think in the grand scheme of things it skews it significantly, but that's just my
Judge Conklin, this is Lacko, if I might. So Judge Hopp, in developing the methodology, that's why we went so many years prior to the pandemic year to get what was more typical. But in sort of transparency, we were reflecting all of the years and we were not choosing which year made the best path rather than in working with the Department of Finance and the legislature, it was these are the years. Now, the reason that there's a different set of years is because it took us a while on the first backfill that we talked about, the 154. It happened from last year's budget. But it took us a while with the Department of Finance to get agreement on the methodology. And then the SB 101 is this year. So they were sort of a year off, and we had different data sets. That's why they're different. But we, in going back, we argued, let's go to multiple years prior to the pandemic, so that while included, doesn't pull it down too much. So yeah, a little bit of a skew, but actually less because we did go 2 and 3 years back before the pandemic to get those data points. And that seemed reasonable to the legislature and the Department of Finance.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? And again, this is the approval recommended, or the feedback is recommending our approval, and our recommended approval would then go to the council at the next council meeting in September. So if there's not any other questions, I would make a motion.
Judge Morvan, I would be happy to make a motion to approve recommendations 1 and 2 reflected on page 7. This is David Yamasaki.
Second, Hop.
All right, Mr. Yamasaki's moved. Judge Hop seconded. Any further discussion or questions? Seeing no hands or any flares, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstentions? All right, then the motion carries. Thank you. So we have a couple of information items only today. The first, again, I'll turn it over to Judge Conklin. And I think Ms. Lane is here from Judicial Council Budget Services to talk about the annual work plan for the, or work plan update from the FMS subcommittee, the Funding Methodology Subcommittee of TICFAC, a Real Work Hours subcommittee. Judge Conklin.
And I'm sorry for the phone ringing in the background. It'll stop in just a minute. I'll turn this right over to Rose, but I appreciate Judge Mormon's description of the Funding Methodology Subcommittee that you're all familiar with. It really is a workhorse within TICFAC. Makes a lot of recommendations about how these, what one of the ones you just looked at, methodologies for these funds coming in. This is our work plan. I'll make a few comments after Rose is done presenting just about my perceptions of how the work plan is progressing, but I'll turn it over to Rose just to set forth that work plan in detail. Rose?
Great. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon. My name is Rose Lane, and I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. So this item is to provide a high-level overview of the updates to the Annual Funding Methodology Subcommittee, or FMS for short, work plan as approved by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, or TICFAC, for fiscal year 23-24 and beyond. So on an annual basis, the FMS reevaluates the work plan to guide its efforts to develop and refine the workload formula, as well as other methodologies, which include self-help, interpretive funding, and methodologies for new funding. So last year's work plan, as approved by TICFAC on July 18th, 2022, is provided as attachment 2A. The TICFAC met on July 6th of 2023 to review each of the changes that the FMS put forth for consideration and approve the following updates. Items 1, 4, and 5 were removed from the work plan. Item 1 relates to Judicial Council provided services. The FMS reevaluated this item and determined this analysis was no longer needed due to the status of trial court funding levels. Item 4 relates to base floor funding. This item was addressed by the council when it approved an ongoing inflationary adjustment for the base floor funding courts consistent with the increase provided to all other courts beginning in July 2023. And then item 5 is to evaluate the workload formula adjustment process, or ARP for short, submission received in January 2022. This item was addressed at the Judicial Council, I believe it was May 2023 business meeting. Two items were moved to fiscal year 23-24. And then these include item 2, which is the development of the ongoing methodology for court interpreter program funding, and item 3, which is the reevaluation of the cluster system to be addressed by the new Data Analytics Advisory Committee. The TICBAC approved to retain item 6 on the work plan as is. This will continue to provide the base floor funding courts with a method to request funding augmentations as needed to support court operations. Lastly, the TICBAC approved to add item 7 to the work plan, which is an annual review of any workload formula ARP submissions received, which is consistent with council policy. The approved work plan for 23-24 is provided for your information and can be found in attachment 2C on page 16 of your materials. This concludes our presentation. I'll pass it back over to Judge Conklin.
Rose, thanks so much. I think that does appropriately summarize how the work plan's been sort of tailored, perhaps, to remove some items that we completed the work on. The only, in all transparency, of these, the item that I think had the most discussion was removing the Judicial Council provided services. And that was a good discussion, but I think at the end of the day, all the members came to realize that is something we've had on our agenda for a while. And there's really, I don't know how else to describe it. I think we've gone as far as we can go with that. And the thought was, there's no need to continue with that. The labor that was set forth to try to address that item really is no longer productive. Beyond that, I think it's a good work plan.
Okay, does anybody have any questions? I will note that the work plan for this subcommittee has gotten a little shorter, primarily because they've done a lot of work in the last, gosh, many years. And people on the subcommittee are very dedicated. Very staff is super thorough, detail oriented. So thank you for this. Anybody have any questions or any observations they'd like to share?
Judge Morgan, this is David, if you don't mind. If I can jump in.
No, I don't mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So one of the things that we did talk a little bit about was related to items 3 and 4. And if you were to look at both of them, they seem to be separate, but they're almost kind of connected. And one of the points that was raised was whether clusters should be assessed that could potentially set a base funding level for not just cluster one courts, but perhaps others. And the discussion kind of led us down a path that suggested that we should really take a good look at what it's taking us to process cases these days. Things have changed dramatically. A lot of post-conviction work is now before us as a result of legislative changes. And as a result, the Data Analytics Advisory Committee is going to be taking a look at the judgeship needs and the workload that's associated with processing the cases. And that's something that's going to be coming up, I think, within the next 12 months from now. So that too did get a lot of discussion, and it may continue to get some discussion, but because it's folded into DAC, the Data Analytics Advisory Committee, and I know that this, the Chalco Budget Advisory Committee is going to continue to look at different aspects of this. It seems to be a very reasonable plan that covers off on a lot of the things that have been important to the different trial courts. And as you just said, Judge Moorman, there's a lot of work that's already been done, and we've moved along at a very nice pace. So I just wanted to make that point because I know that there was some conversation that took place at the Chalco Budget Advisory Committee meeting.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Judge Conklin, did you want to add something?
You know, only that, and I think as you just acknowledged, we all know the work really is done by those who get the least amount of mention, and it's staff. I think we've already talked about this, but Brandy has transitioned away. She's accepted a job in the private sector. Jesse has stepped up. Rose has stepped up. Oksana is always there, and I'm sure I'm leaving others out. But it really, I just wanted to take a moment to thank them for jumping right in and keeping us moving along seamlessly, and obviously John and Zlatko and Fran as well.
Thank you for that. And I think it's we're going to get the benefit of the wisdom from the Data Analytics Committee that I'm sure will be shared with TICPAC at the appropriate time to always be refining our various processes. Okay, well, this doesn't require any action by our committee. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Thank you, Ms. Lane. We have one other information item today, and Mr. Theodorovic, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Judge Mormon. And it says, you know, a budget update on the 23 Budget Act. And I know at the council meeting, the chief and Millicent did a good job of recapping, and I'm not going to go into it to great detail. But other than that, you know, that you have done a lot of work through the TICPAC to the council to get funding allocated and monies are moving out. And so there's just a few of these bits and pieces that we have, and then we'll have an issue coming up related to CARE Act coming up soon. But again, I think it just shows the good work of the committees and the staff to get all of the allocations that were in the budget really moving through the budget process, both internally and out then to the courts, so they can do the hard work that they do. But as far as I think one, just to take a little bit sort of where we are overall with the state, everybody is keenly monitoring the state revenues. I think at every message we've made this past, you know, 6 months that we need to be thoughtful and cautious about how we manage our budget in the 23-24 fiscal year, and also what it is showing in terms of out years. So there has been the Department of Finance does issue a monthly revenue statements about where things have come in. And they are cautious. They say that there's still a lot of uncertainty given the change in the reporting time that we've talked about to October. And so while there was positive news as far as how the year ended with state revenues at about what was the forecast, which is good, still, and I don't want folks to walk away thinking, as Zlatko said, it's great. I started with this, and the Department of Finance is starting with be cautious. June is a big revenue month, but given that we have this push out of the revenues to October, there's still a lot of unknown about the behavior and what's going on. While we are seeing a lot of positives in the economy, 22 is still not in the books, and so we're still being vigilant about that. But whatever revenue option updates I could provide, I am doing it, but with the right caveats about where we are with things. So at least June did not end at a worse number, but a pretty close to forecast. So that is good. In terms of looking forward, this committee did a lot of work this spring on all of the BCPs in the July council meeting. The council did act to approve moving forward with 9 operational BCPs and 1 construction BCP that has multiple components. We've been working through staff, we've been working through the narratives, and in fact, we have gotten to the point where we're a little bit ahead of schedule, and we've sort of informally shared the narratives with the Department of Finance, which gives them a bit of an early start. We like to get ahead of the curve. Currently, the operational BCPs, like the CPI as an example, or the facilities maintenance BCPs, they're due on August 31st. We did send, again, draft narratives to the Department of Finance to get ahead of the other office, the other departments that are submitting BCPs. And also, it's a part of what we do this summer, and I know David has been a part of these in the past, is we have these summer learning sessions with the Department of Finance, in which we especially because we have new staff there at the Department of Finance to educate them. They want to really understand the functions of the branch, the funding history of the trial courts, and so we'll be setting up those sessions with them. They already have a meeting scheduled at the Sacramento court to see how a collaborative court works, and Judge Brown is going to be nice enough to host that, and I think a lot of people have come through his program to see how that works. So what is appreciated on our part is there the Department of Finance's interest in learning about us. Even though things are good, have been good with the budget thus far for us, it's a continual learning cycle, and new staff come on board, and it is us going back and teaching them about that. And we do have, we invite the chair of the presiding, the judge, PJ's advisory committee and the court executive advisory committee to those meetings, so that there is always a court voice to answer and respond to questions, because it's important that they participate in that process. And I know Assistant David has been part of those in the past. And I think that they, while not always generating what we want, I think there's always that learning is always important. It ends up setting the foundation for maybe actions that come 2 and 3 years down the road. There's been some numbers where we talk about issues 2 and 3 years out, so that the Department of Finance has an opportunity to digest the bigger proposals that are coming down the pike, be it in facilities or some of our fund solvencies. And so a lot of work going on as it relates to the budget and supporting the priorities of the branch and all that you did this spring. And I think it's an important part of the budget. So as they head into that budget building fall process and heading to the governor's budget in January, it's on as good a foundation of knowledge and understanding that we can get them. So just a lot of good stuff going on. It's a fun time of year. So any questions about the budget or anything that John would like to add in terms of overall budget?
Mr. Wardline, did you want to add anything today?
Well, the only thing I guess I'd add is that with respect to the current year, as Lotko has indicated that, we're watching revenues very carefully. There is also some strategy being developed as to if we were to get a call saying that there, unfortunately, the revenues haven't come in as expected, that these strategies would really work to try to avoid any kind of baseline ongoing reductions. And so we've got kind of a list of options that, if we were to get that call, again, I want to make sure that baseline reductions are avoided. That's the last thing we'd want. And we've got some other alternatives if necessary. On the multi-year budget strategy, we're very interested in a conversation with the administration about the cap that we have. As you all know, there's a 3% cap on amounts that can be saved. We think that we have a very good argument that, let us help build reserves in times where additional funds are necessary that can offset general fund need. So looking forward to a conversation with the administration about that as well, multi-year strategy. And then finally, there's a big conversation in the branch, and I'm sure others are aware of it, about funding workload-wise and kind of where we should be positioning ourselves relative to a broader conversation of, ensuring adequate, stable, and predictable funding for the branch. And so a lot of good conversations going on, and that's it for me.
And the legislature, I think, comes back in session on next Monday, right?
I think you might be right. I don't know that for sure, but yeah, they are coming back from recess.
Yes, they return on August 14th, correct.
Yep.
And okay, so that's a point, and that's a great point, and if I might, because
sure.
In addition to the budget change proposals that we submitted or will be submitting, we also do fiscal budget services provides fiscal analyses of legislation to ORI's Office of Government Affairs. So when they submit legislative analyses, that the legislature and the Department of Finance are aware of the potential cost to the branch. And so what happens is if legislation goes through the process, it's signed, there might be then the need for budget change proposals to be developed to fund the cost of new legislation. So that's also something that's happening. And thank you for asking about that, Judge Mormon, because if the budget process is ever going and if there are new commitments put on us, at least we do raise our hand, whether or not the budget reflects those, but we do our part to try and get resources for the branch for legislation as well.
Okay, well, thank you for all of that. Mr. Theodorovic, Mr. Wardlaw, did anybody want to ask any questions of either of them?
I would love to not ask a question, but make an observation if I could, Judge Mormon. So one of the great things that has happened over the several years is the strengthened relationship between the Judicial Council and the folks over at the Capitol. And I think that has been a product of the great work that John and Zlatko and Fran have cultivated, as well as the chief and previously Martin. When we have a need to provide additional information to them, you know, they tap us on the shoulders and say, hey, we need to provide details here, or we need to strengthen an argument over here. And that has, you know, demonstrated very meaningful returns to the branch in getting resources that we need. And they have had a very, very good sense of which way the wind seems to be blowing. And when they think that, you know, maybe we should take a look at some of these other areas, it's been extremely helpful. And I think it's been great that we have their counsel when they advise or suggest certain things that we need to strengthen or arguments around, or we need to provide more data. And I do appreciate the work that they do. And I think it's important for us to listen, which we do, but certainly on a broad level, things that they think we may be able to gain a little bit of headway, or we may be able to adjust an ask. Their suggestions or recommendations have been very spot on. So I just wanted to just take a moment to extend my appreciation for the work that they do and really keeping us in the loop and part of the conversation in helping us get to the place where we are. It has been a long road, but it's good to see light because of the advice that they've given us. So just want to say thank you to them. Thank you.
Well said. I'm sure everybody on the committee shares that sentiment. Thank you, Mr. Yamasaki. All right, well, if there's no other questions, I wanted to just alert you all that we're gonna have to have a vote by email later this week. Look for some material to come to your email, I believe, on Wednesday. The necessity for this email action is relates to the CARE Court funding for Los Angeles County Superior Court. This issue did not make it to the July Judicial Council meeting, but we have to promptly take action to allocate CARE Court funding in this budget process for Los Angeles, as they are in cohort one of the CARE Court implementation. And our action and the budgetary allocation will ensure that LA receives its funding for implementation as quickly as possible. The budget committee, we previously voted to recommend the bulk of the 23-24 CARE Act allocations to trial courts, and the Judicial Council, as you know, approved those at our July meeting. The information for LA simply wasn't available to tee it up for that meeting, so we're going to have to take this action by email. And so Wednesday's the 9th. Look for the material. We're going to have to turn it around pretty quick, so you'll be asked to cast your vote, I'm sure, by the close of business on Friday, if not Thursday. So the other thing I wanted to mention is our next meeting. I was trying to organize it so we could have it in conjunction with the Judicial Council meeting, which is scheduled for the 19th of September in San Francisco, which would mean an in-person meeting on the afternoon of the 18th. I'm not really sure that's possible. I'm still trying, Angela and I are trying to figure that out. If we don't do it then, which we may not, we may, I'm gonna probably alert you to a virtual meeting that we'll have on the 25th with the agenda to be decided. Some of us are going to the CJA conference, maybe all of us on this call, maybe not all of us, but some of us. So I don't wanna make that week like too crazy. because people are going to be traveling to San Diego. So I have that in mind. But so look for maybe a poll or an announcement about our next official meeting other than the email action. And Ms. Cowan, did you want to add anything to that or anything else? Have I missed something?
Nope, I think you got everything. Thanks, Judge Mormon.
So I just want to say, I want to give a gracious thank you to Judge Hopp. I didn't see you at the July meeting. I didn't see any of you at the July meeting because I wasn't there. It wasn't that I just was hiding out in a closet. I just wasn't there. And I know you're going to vote by email, but your insight and questions and observations have always been very important, very material, and very much appreciated.
Well, thank you very much. One of the really fun things about being a member of the Judicial Council was getting to be a member of the Budget Committee, which was not something I anticipated 6 years ago when I joined the Judicial Council. I've really enjoyed the material, the work, spending time with all of you. Thank you.
And you know, the only detracting feature is you're apparently continue to be a Dodgers fan. But you know, I won't hold that against anybody. other than that, is there anything from anybody, any member of the committee for the good of the order? Otherwise, I'll talk to you all on the email. Just please remember to review the material promptly, cast your vote, and you'll hear from us about our next meeting.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Bye, everybody.